MSO News Sports baseball insider Andy Carboni joins us. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. And Andy, the Red Sox were 6-2 winners on Tuesday on opening day, delayed one day out in Cleveland. And Andy, when they win, everything looks so good. The Sox got a home run from David Ortiz, Mookie Betts with a big one earlier in the game, and David Price pitches six innings and gives up the two runs and picks up the win.
Yeah, everything went according to plan today, that's for sure. Red Sox going to go 162-0 and cruise on into the playoffs. Everything looked great today, that's for sure. But it was nice to see Price get out there, and he threw the ball pretty well. He struck out 10 over the six innings. I think the pitch count got a little high for him early on. He ran into a couple walks in a few situations, gave up some hits, but he came as advertised. That's the kind of outing you expect. Had some strikeouts with guys in scoring position with only one out, those type of performances, so that's definitely what you want to see. And then an interesting note how the bullpen set up for today's game. Obviously with Carson Smith on the disabled list, the bullpen comes in as your 7th, 8th, 9th inning guys, Tozawa, Uehara, and Kimbrell, and they just shut the door. The only base runner was given up by Kimbrell. He walked a batter in the 9th, but in those three innings there, those three guys in the bullpen, they struck out 5 overall. So 15 strikeouts for Red Sox pitching today. And you mentioned the home runs by Ortiz, and again by Mookie Betts. Betts with the home run today becomes the first player in Red Sox history under the age of 24 to 24 or under to hit home runs in back-to-back opening days. So that was a nice little side note to the whole performance. But, so far so good.
I guess Yaz has the record for the most home runs by a Red Sox player on opening day, which was like 5 or 6 or something like that. So
interesting. Well, Mookie's on his way. That's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. The other thing, what about the Brockhold actually got the hit that gave them the game-winning run, that drove in the game-winning run. So he started out in left field today. But any thoughts on our the infield corners today, Andy, Ramirez and Shaw?
Well, defensively, there were no major issues. No errors were made. They handled whatever was came their way with no problems. But like you said, Holt with that big hit, he had 2 hits today. Shaw had 2 hits, and so did Hanley. So they all chipped in as well, and there were no signs of Pablo today. I did not see him in the dugout or anything. I know he was there someplace, but I don't know where he was, but I'm sure him seeing Shaw get a couple hits has kind of set him back a little further in the depth chart.
Well, on the television, they made the point how he's actually handled this all pretty well. One other note, Mookie Betts had a great catch out in center field today, So put all those things together. It was a big afternoon, I thought, for Mookie Betts and for the Red Sox.
Yeah, speaking of Mookie, one little thing that did happen today, he grounded into a double play.
Oh, yeah.
And they say he's obviously one of the hardest guys in baseball to do that, and he only grounded into 2 double plays all last year. So everything he did, he still even chipped in with a double play, so that was kind of interesting on the side note for Mookie.
So if we continue on this pace, last year he hit into 2 double plays. This year he will hit into 162 double plays.
Oof, imagine that.
What's wrong with this guy?
Gotta get rid of him.
No. All right. Well, Andy, they'll continue the series. 2 more games Wednesday and Thursday, both 6:10 p.m. starts and so on. Well, I want to pick up on a couple of other things, just kind of Red Sox related. In the Sunday sports column, the baseball column, the Nick Cafardo piece in the Sunday Globe, he mentioned, a number of different players, 20 ready-to-emerge players. 3 of them are Red Sox players. So these are 20 ready-to-emerge players. One of them, Blake Swihart, the catcher, Joe Kelly, pitcher, and Jackie Bradley Jr., who also, I think he had one hit today, right? I think he scored the first run, if I'm not.
Yes, no, he did.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so those are the 3 players that he mentioned. So put that into context. Pick any one of them or all of them, whatever you want to do, Andy.
Well, I'll agree with 2 out of the 3. I'll agree that obviously we know what Jackie Bradley did the second half of last season. He's a great defensive player. There's no arguing there. There's a question of can he keep the bat alive. Had a good spring training and got a hit today. Any kind of production you can get out of Jackie in the 9th hole of the lineup, that's all gravy. So I think he's definitely an up-and-coming. I don't argue that question at all. Swihart, obviously, he comes as advertised as being a more of an offensive-type catcher. Not a power hitter, but he's a guy that's going to hit for average and not be the automatic out that sometimes catchers could be. Just the question is going to be when Christian Vasquez is ready, what does that do with Swihart's playing time and that whole agenda? But that is still going to be played out. I don't agree on the Joe Kelly. Yeah, great. He looked good the second half of last year. Playing in games that didn't mean anything, and he did great in up and down. He's had plenty of time to prove himself in Major League Baseball. He's not a rookie or a young player like Swihart and Bradley. So I think what you've seen in the past is what you're going to get from Kelly. He's going to give you maybe a couple nice outings. And the next time out, he could blow up for giving up 5-6 runs. Prove me wrong, Joe, but I just don't think he's going to be a breakout player in 2016.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it happens, but he's not on that curve. I would tend to agree with you on that. Finally, well, one other thing here, a couple of other things. We want to talk about opening day, some notes out of opening day. But first, in that same page, Nick Cafardo writes about 50 most important players, and the number one player is Mike Trout, the outfielder with the Angels, again, most important. Your take?
I agree with that statement. I think he's the best overall player in baseball right now, offensively, defensively. He's a complete package. He's a very quiet guy. He handles himself correctly, doesn't cause any problems off the field. He's a good face for baseball, and there's no question that he's the number one player.
All right. Opening day, there's always things happening, records being set from time to time. We haven't had a no-hitter on opening day yet this year, but a couple of interesting things have happened. So share those with us, Andy.
Two notes from yesterday, which I thought were pretty interesting. The first of which was Colorado Rockies shortstop Trevor Story. Made his major league debut last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks and in their big off-season free agent acquisition, Zach Greinke. And what did he do? He decided, I'm going to hit two home runs in my first Major League game. So he's the first player in Major League Baseball history to have two home runs on opening day in his Major League debut. So that was quite impressive. And if you go back and check the highlights, the home run he hit to left field was at least 450 feet. The thing was just absolutely crushed. And another little side note, which was kind of interesting, the Giants center fielder, Denard Span, he had five RBIs as a leadoff hitter yesterday. And it's the first time on opening day that a player has driven in five runs. So I thought that was interesting as well.
Andy, I got one other note from today's game. The home plate umpire and the calls that he was making, I mean, throughout the game, he was consistent, but consistently bad on calling pitches that were outside that were balls, obviously balls on the strike cam, balls and strike cam, the strike zone cam, but calling them strikes repeatedly. Players didn't even get mad after a while. They just started smiling as they walked away from this guy.
I mean, yeah,
what happens?
I think the home plate umpire probably had early dinner reservations, and the fact that it was 30 degrees at game time with the wind chill, he probably just wanted to keep the game moving and expanded his strike zone a little bit. But there's no question there were plenty of balls in a regular game that you'd see come June or whatnot that were called strikes today.
Well, the game, you want it to move along, so whatever. And the Red Sox win, so all's right with us anyway. So, yeah, I don't think, as they say, even though there's like 50, 60 balls and strike count, maybe not that many, balls and strike calls, those 50 calls didn't decide the game, I don't think. How about that?
No.
All right. Well, Andy, good talking with you, and we'll check back next week.
Sounds good, Bill.
Our baseball insider, Andy Carbone, with us on MSO News Sports.